Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Today's Knuckleball Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by FanRag Sports. I'm your host, Timothy King, joined tonight by my good buddy and co-host, as usual, Greg Jewett. Greg, how are you doing tonight?
I'm all right, thank you.
Closer article today, Greg?
Oh, yeah.
Cool, we'll talk about that. And we also have a special guest tonight from FantasyAssembly.com. That's Jim Finch. Jim, what's going on tonight?
Not much. Doing pretty good. I keep meaning to say congratulations to you and Greg on your job over there at Knuckleball. You guys really deserve it. Finally getting some appreciation and a little spotlight for you guys.
Thank you, Jim. It's pretty good, so appreciate that. If you don't know Jim, go follow him on Twitter at TheJimFinch. He's a favorite of mine. I know, he's one of the good guys out there. So go interact with him on Twitter. There's some good laughs to be had and some good insights as well. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, and we missed out on, since we have a Thursday night show, we missed out on two big-time double-digit strikeout games. So we're going to start with the one that happened yesterday afternoon. That's Corey Kluber. Had a historic performance yesterday. He had 18 strikeouts in 8 innings, 1 hit, and no walks. It was great. It was marvelous, and I hope you bought low because that little window has closed and probably closed forever, as if the Kluber owner in your league was going to sell him for nothing anyway with all the peripherals showing that there was a rebound coming. But everything looks good for Kluber. The fit matches up right in line with what he did last year. All the other peripheral numbers look good. So safe to say that that was Corey Kluber's 2015 coming out party. Anything to add on Kluber, Jim?
No, you basically said it. I mean, the XFIP, the balls were there, the strikeouts were there, the velocity, pitch selection, everything was on par with last year. I mean, he was basically a product of bad luck with a 353 BABIP. So that was basically his coming out party. And if I was a Kluber owner, yeah, I wouldn't be selling low on him either. I'd would have just held him, and I think you're good to go for the rest of the season.
Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, imagine being the poor guy who was so frustrated with him, you left him on your bench, you might miss the start of the year. But Kluber did this last year, too. Maybe he's just a slow starter. So if you draft him next year, maybe you leave him down for the first couple of starts, and then you see him starting to break out, him in there. But remember, he was dropped last year, so hopefully his owners learned that lesson. But, the buy-low window, obviously, like you said, has burst, and everything there was supporting him. But, you know, we have a couple of cats we're going to be talking about a little later in the podcast who the supporting stats are there too. But, you know, you got to trust your gut on some of this stuff.
Yeah, like I said, everything's there. So, everything kind of looks good, and I would deploy Kluber as you normally would. Where do you guys have him ranked? Is he like a top 10 guy for you guys moving forward, or is he like in the 11 to 15 range?
Go ahead, Jim.
I really don't have any kind of updated rankings for now, but I would probably, if I didn't have him in the top 10, he would be just outside, but he'd be one of those top 10, top 12 guys that I would have as a starting pitcher.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I did have him in my top 10 in the preseason, and I don't see anything that would knock him out of there, even slow start aside. If you're fortunate enough to get him this week in a trade, then you get to have his best stats going forward.
Yeah, I think he's probably in, the lower third of my top 10 moving forward. I mean, I don't have updated ranks either, but probably where I'd put him if I was re-ranking today. So, Michael Pineda, not to be outdone, we're going to talk about him too, had a 16-strikeout game last weekend, and he's been absolutely ridiculous this year. You know, the velocity is not what it quite used to be with him. It's 91 and change on the fastball now. It used to be, 94 plus. But, you know, everything looks like it's there with him, too. He has the best FIP in the baseball. He has a minuscule walk rate, and his ground ball is way up. So barring any setbacks with that shoulder, looks like Michael Pineda is a top 20 guy. What do you think, Jim?
The only thing I'm skeptical about with him is the walk rate. I mean, he's never had bad walks in the minors, but a .58 for walks per nine, that's a little bit low. I know he improved his control last year, but I'm having a hard time believing the walks. But other than that, I like everything he's done with one little caveat as far as the rest of the year goes. I mean, he didn't pitch in 2012. He only had 40 innings in 2013 and 84 innings last year. So I'm not sure if I would buy him for the rest of the year. I mean, come June, if he's still doing this well, I'd be trying to sell him off for the best possible deal I can get. I'd be selling high on him because I think come August, September, when it's crunch time for your fantasy league, he's going to start slowing down, tiring, and you're going to want to get rid of him at the top of his game as opposed to trying to sell him off when he's on the decline. So I like Pineda for now, but I'd be a seller come summertime.
Greg, thoughts?
Well, I had the same notes that Jim did, so he stole from me. I'm just kidding. but I was definitely going to hit upon it. I'm really worried about the total innings pitched. Diff only projects him to have 78 more innings pitched for the rest of the year. Steamer has him at 130 more innings pitched this year. I mean, if he pitched 130 more innings, that gets him up to 176 when he only threw. That would be double what he did last year. So I'd be a little skeptical of him getting to that point. As a matter of fact, I think you sell him now, to be quite frank. I don't know if he does scuff a little and say those walks do come up a little, Jim, then his value will go down at that point, and people are going to start catching on to the fact that his innings pitch might start being monitored as the year moves on with the Yankees. So I think as much as he's had a great start and you're riding while he's hot, I think you should, if you had a chance to trade him now and get a Chris Sale in a package deal or something like that, this would be the perfect time to do something of that nature.
I know we're going to talk about him in a little bit, but I want to ask you, Michael Pineda or Steven Strasburg rest of the year? Jim.
Oh, tough one, because Strasburg, he's got the problem with his shoulder right now, so I'm not really sure of what to make for him for the rest of the year, but Pineda getting shut down, I would probably have to gamble on Strasburg.
Greg, what do you think?
Agreed. Yeah, I would. Yeah. I'd rather take the chance on Strasburg. I mean, I know there's some injury concern there. Zimmerman had a nice article on Fangraphs today saying that his pitching coach is trying to trace it back to his turned ankle in spring training, and his body hasn't caught up to the proper mechanics when he tried to pitch through pain. So I would rather gamble on Strasburg.
That was a great article, by the way. When we talk about Strasburg, I'm going to cite that a couple more times, but I'm actually going to go Pineda here. I don't know. I might have a little bit more concern about Strasburg than you guys do. He's in that honeymoon, that Tommy John surgery honeymoon phase, even though Pineda's got the shoulder stuff. I don't know. The Yankees' hopes and dreams are riding on Pineda's shoulder, so I want to keep it interesting, so I'm going to say Pineda the rest of the year. Probably be ridiculed by that for that, but it's okay.
It's okay.
So another AL East guy who I wrote about this week, and I'll get you guys' thoughts before I touch on them. But Clay Buchholz has been no bueno so far this year. He's got an ERA almost six, and his new haircut, it looks, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it looks awful. He looks like a neo-Nazi. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but if you haven't, go take a look at that. So, Jim, what do you think about Buchholz the rest of the year? Is he mixed league relevant, or are you staying away?
I'm probably staying away from him. I mean, you look at his BABIP, which is .393, and it's just stupid high. And his xFIP right now is .323, so 2.5 points below his ERA. It's saying he's unlucky. But if you look at the rest of his career, I mean, his career numbers aren't really anything special other than one outlying year. So I don't really see anything special about him. But like I said, his underlying metric says he's unlucky. He could bounce back. But one interesting note I found when I was looking on him, I was looking at his pitch selection. And this season, he's basically, his four-seam fastball usage is basically cut in half, and he's almost doubled to triple his two-seam fastball for his career. And I don't know, the change may have helped him out as far as swinging strikeouts, but it also appears the pitch is a little bit more hittable, and the line drive percentage is at an all-time high, and his hits per nine is above 11. So I don't know if the change in the pitch selection going from the four-seam to the two-seam has hindered him any, but whatever his change isn't working out, and I see if he tries to make adjustments anytime during the midseason, usually those things don't work out too well. So if he's having problems now and he tries to adjust again, I can see things just getting worse as the season progresses. So I'd stay away from Buchholz.
Greg? He could be a beneficial stream option, but anytime he's facing a above-average offense, I don't think I would have the stones to put him into my lineup. I mean, I have him on the bench right now in an AL-only league, so if that doesn't tell you how I'm feeling right now, and he could throw a great start this week, and he'll do it on my bench, which he's done before. I had him on the game he blew up, so I sat him. Then the next game was the time he had all those strikeouts, and I was like, you're killing me. You know, I mean, like you were saying, his strikeouts per nine are up, so are his walks per nine. His fifth and xFIP say he's better than what he's shown, and he's getting more ground balls this year, but I don't know if it's a result of the defense or what's going on, but one of the nice articles I read about the Red Sox starters was one of the I don't know if you read this one, Tim, or not, but the guy kind of called out the group's toughness as a whole. And
yeah, I read that.
It seems like they're almost like a rudderless ship. Like once something goes wrong, the wheels come off the bus almost immediately. There's no like, all right, I'm going to get this next guy, or hey, I'll clean up that one with this next, you know, with his next batter. Buchholz almost seems to unravel when those games happen. I mean, look at his stars. It's like all or nothing. And that's risky when you have him in your lineup. So if he could put two or three good ones together, I think he can get like fringe, deeper league of interest. I'm talking like 14, 15 teamer, but I think in a 12 teamer below right now, he's only a watch at best.
See, I'm much more optimistic than you guys are. So I get all that, and his batting average against with runners on is like 400. It's stupid, but you know there definitely are some makeup issues with Buchholz, and I don't think that's anything new. You know, he sometimes will just. In years past, just got on the DL because he slept wrong. He was up for half a year because his neck hurt because he slept wrong. I mean, just strange things with him. But, you know, everything to me kind of symbols a bounce back. And I think he could – I don't know if you guys remember, but last year he went on one of those sick runs for like a month and a half where he was just unhittable. And I think there could be one of those coming to kind of correct everything that's gone wrong. I mean
– Oh, I want him to, believe me.
The swinging strike rate is up. It's up considerably, and I think that supports to a degree the uptick in strikeouts, although he's not going to sit where he currently stays. He's getting batted at the swing of pitches outside the zone at a career best rate, not allowing home runs, and he's only stranding 62% of the runners, and Jim mentioned the Babbitt. So I think there's something here, and I think at the very least you watch him in the 12-team mix. I actually will ask you guys, who do you prefer the rest of the season, Clay Buchholz or Jesse Hahn?
Ugh.
Go Fish.
Jesus. Is there a C? No, in that scenario, I guess I would probably have to say Buchholz just because I know the Red Sox are going to leave him in there until he's hurt. I mean, Jesse Hahn's spot, you don't know if he's going to have that spot in another month. So, I mean, obviously the A's lost Jared Parker, but they still got other guys working their way back. So, I don't know. That's a really tough one. I guess Buchholz if I had to. And it's funny you say that because they're both on that FSWA AL-only team I have. I pitching went super early, and I was taking bats, and now I'm, like, praying that a couple of guys hit. Thank God Quintana had a nice start the other night. That helped me.
10Ks, yeah, that was a nice one. Jim, what do you think? Is Buchholz or Hahn?
I'm playing the waiver wire and streaming that spot. I'm not taking either one of them because I don't trust Buchholz and Hahn. he hasn't been the guy we thought he was last year, and I have the same concerns I do with him than I do with Pineda, as he didn't have that many innings last year, and I think the same thing come around July, he's going to start tiring, and if he's not doing well now, he's not going to be doing well come July when he's already reached his innings max, so I would just stream the spot. I wouldn't even bother. And I know Greg brought up Parker with Han possibly losing a spot, but Parker's already facing his possible third Tommy John surgery. I don't know if you read that, so he's
done this year. I was saying Parker can't come back, so that kind of gives more leash, but
I misunderstood.
That's okay.
Yeah. Jesse Han was good last year, but actually, the reason why I'm asking is because I just made the move in two separate leagues. They're both 12-team mixed leagues. They're both deep 12-team mixed keepers, and I just made the move in two leagues to drop Han for Buchholz, so I'm hoping that works out. Hoping we get one of those Clay Buchholz runs. So Michael Wacha, Greg and I had this discussion the other day. I was mulling over a trade offer that I was offered in one of those keeper leagues that I'm mentioning, and one of the potential targets was Michael Wacha, and his strikeout rate is non-existent. And so Greg and I had a little bit of a conversation, and looks as though Waka's changed his repertoire and the way he's attacking hitters. And it seems very odd. He's not walking anybody, and he's getting grounders, and, you know, he's stranding runners and all that stuff, but there's no strikeouts. So if it's going to stay this way, it's going to be a massive hit on his value. I'd rather him personally, you know, not allow as many grounders and get that strikeout rate up and running. But Jim, what do you think about Wacha? I mean, he was a big time kind of, I don't know, maybe a post hype guy this year, and a lot of people seem to like him postseason. What do you think about Wacha moving forward?
I think you hit on it right there, the way he's attacking the hitters. I mean, he's just throwing a lot differently, and the swing percentage you can see is up inside and outside the zone. So that's increased the contact from the hitters, but like you said, the ground ball percentage, that's where a lot of the hits have been going. He's got a 55% ground ball rate, so, and the fly ball percentage is down, so he's not getting the strikeouts, but the way he's attacking the hitters, he's getting more ground balls, and between that, the low walks and the defense behind him, it's keeping his ERA and whip low. So while you're not getting the high K rate, which we all drafted Wacha for, you're still getting the rest of his numbers. So as long as you're not in a K per nine league, I would be happy with him. But overall, I really can't complain about him as long as he's keeping the low ERA and whip down and getting you the win. So I would like the strikeouts, but if he's getting me the rest of the numbers, I really can't complain about him. I can't honestly tell you what happened to the strikeouts, but I'm not overly disappointed in his overall production.
Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, and I mean, he did have, I believe he pitched today and had 7 strikeouts in 5 innings against Cleveland, unless I'm mistaken. But same thing, you know, as we had the conversation, he seems to be trading strikeouts for ground balls. His swinging strike percentage is down 3% from last year. The only thing, I mean, I don't mind that. I mean, Waka's solid. The only thing that concerns me is reading in the beat writers, the Cardinals are toying around with going with a 6-man rotation to kind of keep Martinez's innings down and keep the arms kind of fresh going forward. So barring some form of a trade, if they do that and they bring up Gonzalez or Garcia to do that 6-person thing, then that gives him less reps. So, you know, you can be happy as a Wacha owner, but that really minimizes any 2-start weeks and things of that nature. So if his strikeouts are already down, that's going to depress that rate for the rest of the season going forward.
Yeah, and that's bad news for everybody, even outside of the two guys you mentioned for fantasy owners of Cardinals pitchers. 6-man rotations are no good. We definitely don't want to see that. And actually, while we're here, can we touch on Marco Gonzalez? I know I didn't put this in the sheet, but I do want to touch on what's been going on with him, because he has been the topic of a lot of conversation. I know a lot of people have been adding him and saying, well, you know, he's going to be awesome and all this stuff basically they've been making it a formality that he's going to be called up to fill Adam Wainwright's spot in the rotation. But he just returned from a pectoral or oblique issue, and he's been roughed up twice in 2 starts for AAA. today he got wrapped up to 7 runs. So it doesn't look like Gonzalez is going to be in that rotation, in this big league rotation anytime soon. And Tyler Lyons is filling in there. And they've also got Jaime Garcia, who's working his way back from his 50th straight shoulder injury. So I just wanted to bring that point up. Do you think we see Marco Gonzalez this year, guys, Jim?
Not until he straightens himself out in AAA. I think it's going to be a while. I know the Cardinals talked about going with a six-man rotation, but we've seen the six-man rotation from several teams now over the past couple of years, and they usually don't work out well and don't last long. So I wouldn't read too much into them talking about a six-man rotation. I think they may bring someone up for a spot start now and again, but I think they'll stick with the general five-man rotation. And Marco Gonzalez, I don't think will be part of that rotation anytime soon until he figures things out in AAA.
Greg, are you on board?
Yeah, and, you know, he was okay last year in his 10 starts, or the 5 games that he started, but I don't know. Even last year, his FIP was 4.75. And he needs to get the ship right. And same thing, he hasn't logged a lot of innings either. I mean, last year he threw across, 3 levels in the minors for a total of just about 100 innings, and he got 34 in the bigs. I don't know. I would let somebody else take the chance on him.
Fair enough, yeah. He was a target of mine, but then, you know, he was added in, like, all my leagues, like, 2 weeks ago, when everybody thought he was going to be back and, you know, immediately inserted into the rotation, and then he's just been roughed up since. So a guy to keep an eye on at deep mixed leagues, but doesn't look like he's going to be up in the near term. So we touched on Strasburg a little while ago, and let's go a little bit deeper on him here. He has just been horrible, absolutely awful. And I do want to cite that Jeff Sullivan article that you were talking about, Greg. And if you didn't read that, go to Fangraphs and read that, because it was a great – it was a great breakdown of what could possibly be wrong with Strasburg. And basically the synopsis was that Strasburg had an ankle injury during the spring, and it altered his mechanics in such a way that he's having trouble getting his mechanics back to where they were prior to the injury, and that's affecting his performance because everything's there. The velocity is pretty good. He's not, you know, his changeup has been kind of bad, and he's been having trouble with runners on base and getting swing strikes. So, you know, he's got a BABIP of 400, a 60% left on base, and his FIP is more than 2.5 runs, you know, better than his ERA. So he's been good with nobody on base, and he has been in trouble when there's men on base. So maybe it is the mechanics, or maybe the ankle's still bothering him a little bit, because I do think it's that lead ankle. So maybe the ankle's still kind of getting cranky on him a little bit there. But, Jim, what do you think about Strasburg? I mean, is he – you know, is he a guy you're targeting as a buy low, and what do you think about him moving forward?
I would target him as a – I'm not sure if I would target him as a buy low, and I'm not sure if anyone would be selling low right now. I mean, yeah, the ankle injury could account for some of the struggles in the beginning, but he's also been talking about his shoulder over the past couple of weeks, and he's gone to a chiropractor to get things worked out, which that could be a result of the ankle, him changing things on the mound and trying to do things differently, but – I think combined with the ankle injury and the shoulder injury, you're going to deplete any kind of value you have trying to get it, trying to trade him away. I was looking at, I was comparing all his starts going from the beginning of the year to now, and over his last 4 starts, basically hitters are making contact with his pitches outside the zone 75% of the time compared to 56% of the time, which is career norm, and that's just over his last 4 starts, and that's when the shoulder issues came up. So I think a lot of his problems are stemming from the shoulder right now, which could be a result of the ankle and the change, but I'm kind of wary of him because if the ankle is the initial problem and he is changing how he is on the mound, and now he's having shoulder issues, that can just lead to bigger things. And it's never good when you have a problem with a pitcher's shoulder. So I wouldn't be looking to buy him. If you're a Strasburg owner, I would try and sell him, but I wouldn't undersell him because there is a chance his ankle does get better, he does correct himself, and he does bounce back. I mean, a lot of people spent the second-round pick on him. You're not going to get that kind of value in a trade. So if you're a Strasburg owner, you pretty much just have to ride this one out, but I'd be concerned if I was an owner right now.
Greg?
Yeah, I kind of echo those sentiments. I mean, he's almost a home stream right now. His home ERA is only 3.5, but on the road it's an 8.10. And just because he got blown up in Arizona, it was his ERA was above 5 on the road going into the game yesterday when I was doing some of my when I was putting together my daily lineup. I was looking at his splits, and his splits on the road were not very good. So, you know, I don't know if it's ballpark. I don't know if it's shoulder. I don't know if it's his ankle. You never know what the teams are telling us as far as his injury. You know, the coach could be saying it's his ankle just to kind of smokescreen the shoulder. And we all know teams aren't honest about these injury things. So to echo what Jim said, as a Strasburg owner, you're kind of stuck. You're kind of between a rock and a hard place because if you sell him, you're not going to get anywhere near the value that you paid for him. And, you know, and if you're going out and acquiring him, it just depends on what you're going to give. You know, if you can give, if you want to take a chance on him, your team needs a shot in the arm because it's suffering and it's pitching and you want to take a long shot, he could be a lottery ticket, but just like a lottery ticket, they can bust too. So I'm not seeking to acquire Strasburg. If somebody is looking to just dump him or get rid of him, then I would be interested, but I'm not going to actively seek out his owners.
Fair enough. That's actually a really good assessment. So, hit on a lot of good points on Strasburg there. Shin-Soo Chu is a favorite of Greg's, an old favorite of mine, and he's on fire. He's got a .373 batting average and a 14-game hit streak, a .373 batting average in May. And so what do we think about Chu moving forward here? Jim, I'll start with you.
I'm a favorite of him, too, because I've had him on every one of my teams since his breakout year. And the two bad years he basically had injuries. He tried to play through those injuries, and he just wasn't able to, and his number suffered for it. So when he started out rough this year, he complained about a few little nagging things, and I thought, here we go again, you know, same story, different chapter. And I wrote him off a few weeks ago, and these past couple weeks he's proved me wrong. I think Greg might have picked him up in one of the leagues I dropped him in. I'm not sure. You did pick him up, okay? But
zero. I even bid on him. I got him for nothing.
Thank you very much for rubbing that in. but it looks like those injuries turned out to be nothing. He's starting to come around along with Adrian Beltre, so I think he's back to his normal self, minus the steals. He hasn't attempted a steal all year, but the home runs are coming around. The average is coming around, so I can see him hitting around 285, 290 the rest of the year with at least 15 home runs, 50, 60 RBIs, and depending on where they have him in the top of the lineup, if they keep him at first or second, a minimum of 60 runs. Could be more if Beltre and Fielder keep hitting, but I do like him for the rest of the year, and I'm regretting dropping him in a few leagues right about now.
Greg, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I needed a shot in the arm with that team. I had a lot of that team we're talking about, the league I'm in with Jim there. I still, I think, have 5 guys on the disabled list, so I was looking for the Quote the Platoon movie there. I was looking for any swinging thing in the field, so I took a stab at Chu just thinking maybe I can catch lightning in a bottle. Luckily, he's been on fire. I mean, I never planned on him doing what he's doing. There's a couple of things. I mean, Andrew McCutchen stole his first base a couple of days ago. Chu hasn't attempted one yet. I think once maybe he is starting to get healthy, so maybe he'll start to run a little bit more as he gets more confidence in his body. Because when you get injured, you don't trust your body. So it takes time to, you know, as a person that I had an ACL surgery and it took me a year to trust that knee. I mean, the knee's great. It's actually better than my other knee right now, but it takes time. You don't trust your body. Any athlete will tell you that. It's hard when you can't rely on your body to keep you going. But I mean, Chu's raises batting average 60 points just in the series with the Royals. So I mean, batting leadoff, he's hitting .349 and slugging .674. So I think he's comfortable batting leadoff, and if his body is starting to get healthy, then he's Shin-Soo Chu. Will he only maybe steal 5 to 7 bases? That's possible, but if you get the 15 home runs the rest of the way, I think that's a nice little that's a nice little grab for a pretty cheap price.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you guys. I've been saying this on Twitter for like a week. It's just like, how much value is there in an outfielder, in especially more shallow leagues? Like, if he's not going to run and his walks are down, he's not walking like we know him to, like, how much value does Chu have if he hits 16 homers and hits 270 this year with no switch, like very little? You know what I mean? Like,
lead off and scoring runs, he's got value. Runs is an underrated category in fantasy. People overlook runs. You need people to hit in the top of the lineup that score.
That's fair. I just I don't know if, you know, in like a 10-team league, should you be like emptying your budget on Chu? I don't know. Like, would you rather have like Jay Bruce or Shin Chu for the rest of the year?
Chu.
Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd probably go Chu just because I have more faith in the batting average. I know Bruce is only going to hit around 240, 250 at most, so I'll take Chu.
Man, I hope Jay Bruce hits 250. It looks like he's going to hit about 200 right now. Jake Marisnik.
Well, I'm saying at the top of his game, that's what you can usually expect. Yeah,
sure.
He's aiming for 200, but he could bounce back as well.
Jake Marisnik or Shin Chu Chu, Greg?
For me, I'd rather have Chu. He's proven.
Who was that name you gave me?
Jake Marisnik of Houston.
I'd go with Chu. Like you said, like Greg said, more established, better track record.
I'm going with Marisnik. And that's, you guys have been on the same team like three times tonight, so Marisnik for me, I think I like the steals. I think Marisnik could go like 12-25 and hit like 260. So give me a Marisnik, because Marisnik's sitting at the top of the order now too. So hopefully what he's doing is somewhat sustainable, but I think I'd go there. All right. Chris Sale had a nice game, finally waking up from his early season slumber. Had 11 strikeouts. And like the other guys we've been talking about, a lot of his peripherals tell the story of an unlucky pitcher. Velocity looks good. And the one thing I'm noticing, though, kind of concerning, is that he's throwing a lot more fastballs and about 10% less sliders. So I'll kick it to you, Jim. Do you think are you concerned at all with Sale? Do you think he's that top 10 guy?
I put him right there with Kluber. I mean, yeah, he had early season struggles, but he also had the injury in spring training. So it's possible that the first four or five games he was just in spring training mode and trying to warm up, and this was his comeback. But and 11K, while the 11Ks were nice, they were against the Brewers, who are near the bottom of the league for as far as strikeouts go. So while I have confidence in him, I'd like to see him do it at least a few more times against a little bit better competition to make sure he's back. But I really have no concerns about him overall as far as his stuff goes and his ability to be a top 10, top 15 pitcher the rest of the way.
Greg?
Yeah, I mean, even with the reduced amount of sliders, his swing strike rate is only, it's 0.9% off of where it was last year. And, you know, he's still rounding in the form, so he may not be snapping off the slider where he likes it. I know everybody wants Chris Sale to inevitably be hurt because his mechanics are terrible and his elbow can't last. That could be the inevitability someday. But I think he's still rounding in the form. You know, people, when these pitchers get a late start, it takes time. So, you know, another one or two starts, and yes, it would be nice to see him do it against a much better offense. But I think he's rounding in the form. I have no problem with Chris Sale.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure every conversation about Chris Sale devolves into, well, his elbow's going to eventually be blown out anyway, so what's the point? But it's weird how that happens. But good to see him get back on track. Would you rather have Sale or Kluber?
I ain't worried about him.
Yeah. Would you rather have Sale or Kluber the rest of the year, Jim?
I like Sale a little bit better.
Greg?
That's a tough one. You know, I'll go the other way. I think I'll go Kluber the rest of the way.
I'm with you there, Greg. I like Kluber as well, just a little bit more. Right, because Sale's elbow, that thing is going to go, isn't it? Like,
so, he does have a little bit more of a track record than Kluber. That's the only reason I'm leaning toward him.
That does make sense, but yeah.
All right, so a couple of Rockies hitters, well, the only other outside of Nolan Arenado, the only Rockies hitters, really. Let's talk about our favorite, Troy Tulowitzki. Not doing a whole lot this year so far. He's not walking at all. He's striking out a lot. And something doesn't look right with him. I mean, he's just, his plate discipline's all over the place. But his homer to fly ball is minuscule, and I think there's a power binge coming. What do you think, Jim?
I think there's definitely a power binge coming. I mean, yeah, his numbers are all over the place, but he's still batting over 300. He's still scoring runs, and anybody that's ever owned Tulowitzki in the past can tell you that in 1 2-week period, he can put up like 10, 11 home runs, and his numbers and stat lines are back to normal. So I have no concerns about Tulowitzki whatsoever. I think, like I said, he's just going to have that 2-week tear to where his numbers are going to look normal. So if I'm a Tulowitzki owner, hold on to him, because when that couple of weeks come around, you're going to want him on your team.
Correct?
Yeah, he's going to be blazing soon. I mean, as unconscious as he was last year, I think a lot of this has been bad luck. His hard percentage contact, which is exit velocity of 90 miles per hour faster, is actually 3% higher than last year. So, yeah, it's lurking. So there's going to be a game coming soon where he's going to pull Yasmani Grandal and just hit two or three in that same game and drive in eight. And everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, there's Tulowitzki again. So, yeah, ride it out. And if you have him that night in the DFS, just sail off into the sunset with it.
I think I had him, I think it was like 2 years ago, I had him toward the end of the season in the playoffs, and he had the same thing. He was going slow through the year, and over a 10-game period, he had like 12 or 13 home runs, and he just launched my team from one round to the next into the finals. So it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember that a couple of years ago. It was in like, August, right, or something, Jim?
Yeah, August, beginning of September.
That was a crazy couple of weeks. Yeah, right now, Troy Tulowitzki is the number 16 shortstop on the ESPN Player Rater, behind the likes of Freddie Galvis, Chris Owings, and Odubel Herrera. So there's gonna be a 1 week span where Tulowitzki goes from number 16 to like number 3 on the Player Rater. So that's coming, and that'll be a lot of fun if you own him. Just hope his lower body can stay intact to get to that point. So. His teammate, Carlos Gonzalez, my outlook is not as optimistic on. And there was I forget who wrote it, but somebody wrote today for Fangraphs a really good article about him, and talking about basically how all of his numbers look like they're in decline. And if you go check his peripheral numbers yourself, you'll see that. And he's not 30 years old, but you look at his numbers and everything is just, it just looks bad. It just, he's not the same player he once was. You know, he had that awesome 2013. He had 26 homers and 21 steals with a .302 average and 110 games, but he's just been terrible since. And he's not hitting clean balls anymore. So you're not going to be getting 20 homers out of Tulo this year. What do you think about Cargo, Jim?
You know, I knew the knee surgery would sap the speed, but I at least thought he would have the power and hit for average. And the only thing I can guess is his knee is, while it's quote-unquote healed, I think there's still some discomfort there. And sort of like with Strasburg, we talked about him altering his delivery. I think he's potentially altering things at the plate, trying to adjust his stance to maybe account for the any kind of discomfort or pain he's having. And that's throwing his game off to, I don't know if it's going to come around anytime soon. If it does, it's not going to be right away. He could be a second-half player, to where if someone's selling low, I might be a buyer on him. But as an owner, I would be kind of worried right now. But I would probably hold out, because I think he still has enough power and can hit for a good enough average to be a second-half player.
Greg?
Yeah. I only own him in 1 week, and luckily it's an expiring contract. So, you know, I'm probably gonna bench him for a week or two, and it's a risk. So then you could bench him on the 1 week where he explodes, but you know, I don't know that there's an explosion imminent. So let him kind of work through things. Hopefully, maybe an extended home stand will get him on track. You know, it's been tough sledding. I mean, they had games canceled to snow. They've been inconsistent with their gameplay in the last couple of weeks, and it just seems like they just can't get going as an offense. I mean, if there's one thing you can count on with Colorado, it's at least usually the bats. I mean, everyone knows on the road they don't score as much, but I mean, you know, they were getting shut down by C.J. Wilson, and so you would have to think they'd have enough right-handed bats to give them a little bit of action. But you know, the Rockies as a whole are kind of struggling, so maybe it's just when the regression comes the other way and they get on a tear, hopefully Gonzalez can be a part of it. But you know, I'm not ready to drop him yet. I would hold him on the bench if I could. Just depends on the depth of the rosters.
Would you rather have Cole Calhoun or Cargo for the rest of the year, Jim?
Calhoun.
Yeah, right. That's Calhoun. It's kind of not close right now.
One more, Gregory Polanco or Cargo, Jim?
I'm going to have to go Cargo on that one. I've been losing faith on Polanco over the past few years, so I'm going to go with Cargo on that one.
Greg?
No, my son won't let me not vote for Polanco on this one between them.
Yeah, I would rather have Polanco and Calhoun than Cargo moving forward.
So, okay, but your son's not in the room.
Polanco,
who are you going for?
Sorry. I'm saying Polanco because I want a guy with the arrow pointing up. I mean, he's young and he's stealing bases. I mean, he's doing the stuff that, at least stealing bases, that Cargo used to do. So if he's going to bat at the top of the Pirates lineup and be a little bit more productive, I see him kind of growing into it, whereas Cargo's trying to get back to it.
So, assuming, well, if you were looking for your daily Troy Tulowitzki tabloid update, he's not asking for a trade. It was all over Twitter a second ago, so I guess he's going to stay with Colorado, but who knows. So another thing I want to talk about, it's pretty obvious that if either of these guys gets moved, unless somehow Tulowitzki goes to the Yankees, their fantasy values will both take pretty large hits. So if Tulowitzki goes to the Mets, I mean, it's going to be a pretty big impact on his value, no? What do you think, Jim?
Oh, anybody that seems to go to the Mets these days just kind of goes downhill. But I think he's been hitting pretty well on the road this year, and he hasn't been horrible for his career, so he could be okay if he leaves Colorado. If he goes to the Mets, I don't know, he's got a lot of big parks over there in the East, so could see a little drop in production, but I think he's not going to be the second-round, third-round value that we all see him as, but he's still going to be a valuable shortstop to own. So overall, I wouldn't mind him moving to the Mets or anywhere else for that matter.
Greg?
Yeah, I think a fresh start would actually revitalize him. I think getting into an environment where he knows he has a chance to win, I think would get the juices flowing. So, you know, yeah, moving to the Mets could hurt him, but they did move the right field fences in, and you know, you get a part of something where at least you know you're playing for a chance to play in September, and I think that would I think that would definitely get him going.
Quick note, I just saw on Twitter, Anthony Rendon is going to start with some baseball activities again, so should only be a few more days until he gets hurt again and has to get shut down for another 10, so keep an eye on that. So Jason Worth is kind of being mass dropped everywhere. Do you guys think is he like rosterable in like a 10-team league, Jim?
In a 10-team league? Not at all. I mean, I have one 10-team league, and I have a friend, he let me look in his league, and Worth is available over there. I mean, right now on Yahoo, he's the 96th ranked outfielder. So if you play in a 10-team league, even if you use five outfielders, he's not measuring up to the guys there. So unless you're holding him on your bench as a hopefully come-around kind of guy, he's not worth it in a 10-team league. Even in a 12-team league right now, he's a bench player and nothing more.
Greg?
Yeah, no pun intended, but, you know, I don't see him being worth it. It's just, same thing. The injury that he had, it portended a drop in power, and, yeah, he did hit a home run in Arizona, and that's nice, but I don't know. The numbers just do not look pretty right now. His ISO is 0.084. So So, and his way to runs created plus is at 54. League average is 100. So if he was a league average outfielder, he'd have to be at 100 WRC plus. He's at half of that.
Hey, all right. Oh, well, I don't know. I like Worth. I traditionally have liked Jason Worth because, for me anyway, he's a guy that I don't really have to, like, go and analyze. You kind of know what he's going to do. You know, he's going to hit for some power. He's going to steal some bases. He's going to hit for a good batting average. But, I think you guys are right.
But if he doesn't...
Right?
I'm sorry, Tim. If he doesn't, I mean, they've got Michael Taylor there. As much as I didn't like him last year, he's playing improved. So, I mean, if Worth doesn't come around, they've got somebody they can put in.
Yeah, did you see that pinch hit grand slam Taylor hit yesterday?
Yeah, so did all of Ash and Reed's owners.
What a smooth – I watched that game, and when I saw that swing, it was just so smooth. It's like he put no effort into it. He hit that thing to dead center field. I think it was a shot. But
very good athlete. When I saw him play in Syracuse last year, he seemed a little bit aloof and kind of cocky, and he was going through the motions because I think he knew he was getting called up soon. There was a couple of plays that just turned me off. But, I mean, these guys grow up and they come into it. I mean, you could tell he was dripping with athleticism, but it left a bad taste in my mouth when I saw him last year, and that's why I was like, he's not ready yet. But with a little more seasoning, he's going to be there. I mean, he's never going to be a high average guy, but he could be a stolen base and power threat as he grows into that body.
Yeah, he went, what'd he go, like 20-30 last year, right, Double A or something? Yeah, he had a big season last year in the minor leagues. I don't know.
Unfortunately, he's stuck in that Alex Guerrero phase right now to where there's no place for him to play, so you just got to wait for an injury.
That's almost where you're wondering, you know, will the Nationals, you know, start phasing out Worth if he doesn't start hitting and giving Taylor more looks? I mean, at some point you have to start giving the kids a chance to play.
Can Michael Taylor play shortstop, guys? Because I think they've got an opening.
I can play shortstop better than Duncan right now.
Yeah, he did
another
three
knee surgeries. I'll stay down.
He made another error yesterday on a routine play. It was bad. He's not hitting either. But that's a discussion for another day. Jason Worth is keep an eye on him because I think once he can kind of maybe if he gets healthy, kind of goes through the motions. I think he could hit like 275 and get like 12 home runs.
But I think
Jim
said earlier, like about Cargo, he might be a second half guy. I mean,
maybe
he works through this and shakes the rust off, and then after the All-Star break, he might go on a mini power bench and get surged if the Nationals are playing for the divisional title. So I guess you can hold him now in a 12-team league, but I wouldn't be starting him. But 10-team and lower, no, he's not. I'm not playing him.
That's it. Enough with Jason Worth. Let's talk about a guy that people want to hear about. Noah Syndergaard is up and had an okay first outing, 5 1/3, 3 runs, 4 walks, 6 Ks. Looked good into the 6th, and then kind of stuff came off after that. I watched the game. He looked good. Looked like he had ace stuff. I think he's going to be a GIF or GIF, however you say it, machine. They're already all over the internet about him with his curveball, images of his curveball and stuff. And pretty sure that Dylan G is not going to keep Syndergaard out of the rotation, so looks to me like he's here to stay, but you never know with those kind of things. He looked great. Goes 100 miles an hour, and the future's now. Jim, what do you think about Syndergaard moving forward?
Well, he looked good, but he wasn't great to where I think if his next start is like his last one, there's a chance he could go back down to AAA because right now the Mets are in first place and they got there without Syndergaard. I mean, I love Syndergaard as much as everyone else, so I'm not knocking him, but the Mets have no real need for him at the position they're in, so I can see them sending him down to AAA just to keep him on that 5-6-inning pitch count where he's not overused and they might have him for the second half because they're going to be in contention if they keep things up the way they are right now. So I think he's going to be back in AAA and back up by summertime. I don't see
Greg,
him sticking much past one more start.
Well, that's a different take. Greg, what do you think?
Well, I mean, Jim's, you are a Mets guy, right?
No, I'm the anti-Mets guy. I got out from them when they traded traded for Zambrano years ago. That was my last day as a Mets fan.
Well, a former Mets guy, but he has a pretty good pulse on the team. I'm guarded with my optimism for Syndergaard. I'd like to see him stay, but it's, you know, these teams, that some of the teams just don't want to rush the kids. I mean, you know, the irony is that Dylan G went on the disabled list last year and got replaced by Jacob DeGrom, and now he's still there, and people are making all of those insinuations. But I think Jim touched on a point there. I mean, they don't have to keep him up there. I mean, needs to get touched up today. Dylan G is not, like, you know, a superstar pitcher, so the ball's kind of in the Mets in their court. It'll be interesting to see what happens if he does come out and have a dominant second start. I think it presses their hand a little bit, but if he scuffles a little bit against lefties like he did in Chicago, then it could be cause for worry. I mean, I was surprised when they intentionally walked Chris Coughlin early in the game, and then later on he did get a hit against him to knock in one of the runs. So we'll see. I think the second start's going to tell a lot, so I'm interested to see what happens with it and how the Mets handle it going forward. I mean, there's not a lot he has to prove in AAA, but they can put him down there for just a little more seasoning and pitching in that tough environment.
Yeah, he's pitching well. He was in Vegas, right? And he was pitching really well. So.
Yeah, man, Steven Matsar. I mean, the Mets have all kinds of pitching down there. It's just a matter of what they want to do going forward.
That's it. Yeah, they do have a nice surplus.
Which one of
Who's
them will be going
with...
to Colorado for Tulowitzki?
That's it. Who knows? What's going on with Jeff Samardzija, Jim?
I don't know. That's why I asked you about him. Oh, this guy is completely – in the off season, I downplayed him. I said he was basically a fluke. It was just one good year, and I still wound up with him on my team because he fell so low, and he's just maddening to have this year.
Greg?
You know, I looked at him early on, and it was just like there's so many different things happening with him. And, you know, his ground ball percentage has plummeted. It's down 15% this year. But his ERA is at 4.8, but his FIP says 3.99, which isn't spectacular, but it's about a run below where it presently is. But, you know, his strikeout rate's down, ground ball rates are down. So is there something going on that we don't know about? Is he trying to change something? I mean, and the White Sox, Don Cooper's a very good pitching coach, so I can't see transitioning to working with him being the problem, but he's not throwing the fastball as much. He's throwing 12% fewer of them. He's throwing more sliders, and he's throwing a lot more cutters this year. So you know, it's weird. It's very strange as to what's happening with him, but and the swinging strike percentage is down too. Contact is up. So all of the things that say, hey, some of it's bad luck are not pointing in that direction. So I'm not sure.
He's allowing a 29% line drive rate as well. Yeah, I'm not as optimistic about his you know, kind of buy low outlook as I was maybe 2 weeks ago. Just maybe having trouble adapting to life in the American League and yeah, his kind of results are suffering.
Well, that's
a
tough ball
result
too. I mean, there's a big difference between pitching
course.
In Oakland and pitching in Chicago.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. So keep an eye on Samardzija. I wouldn't be looking to dump him yet because I do think there's still something there. And his FIP isn't all that different from his ERA. So I think there's probably – the story probably lies somewhere in the middle. I think he probably will, you know, pitch to a high 3 ERA and, you know, kind of have some games where he struggles, but I think he'll be okay in general. I still think he's worthy of the roster spot next week.
Yeah, with his on-again, off-again performances, it kind of makes it hard for an owner. I mean, if you look at his games, he's getting – he manhandled Detroit the two times he faced them, but he got hammered by Minnesota and Milwaukee, so you can't even play him on spot starts. So I'm starting to wonder if he's even worth holding in a 12-team league, because if you can't even spot start him against weaker teams, then how can you trust him at all in your lineup?
Yeah, the plan right now might just be to bench him and see if he can put a couple starts back-to-back together and see if that works. If not, maybe you can kind of look for other options there. But I'd advise to hold tight for a little bit and see how it works out. So We've got about 5 minutes. I'm just going to burn through a couple of updates, and then we'll talk bullpens really quick. Yan Gomes is going to be starting a rehab assignment tomorrow for High A. He'll probably be back in like 10 days for Cleveland. That's going to be big for fantasy owners, big for the Indians pitching staff as well. So if Yan Gomes is available in your wire and you need a catcher, and there's a good chance you do considering that they're all hurt, Gomes is a big-time add. Gene Segura was placed on the DL with a fractured finger. He's going to be out a while. Kind of tough luck for him. Tough luck for the Brewers. He's having a nice little season. Little power, little speed, and he was hitting for a decent batting average. So tough if you need if you're hurting at shortstop. Hunter Pence is close to activation. He's quote unquote day to day. So it just depends on I guess what mood Bruce Bochy is in, whether or not he'll be activated over the next couple of days. But Pence looks ready, and if he's available out in any league, certainly grab him. He's going to be top 30 outfielder right away, at least as far as I'm concerned. Will Myers is going to avoid the DL, although he's been diagnosed with tendonitis in his left wrist. It was not the same wrist that he fractured last year that cost him 61 games, so that's good. And Myers has been good at the top of that Padres lineup. He's scoring a bunch of runs. He got like 30 runs, 29 runs, something like that. A little power, and he'll be missed. So keep an eye on that, but it looks like he'll miss a few days. Kenley Jansen can return as soon as tomorrow, but possibly Saturday, and will be eased back into the closer role. So that is good for that horrible Dodgers bullpen. So Kimbrell is going to be get him back active on the team. And did I say Kimbrell? I meant Jansen. Let's talk about Craig Kimbrell in a minute or less. What do you think's going on with Kimbrell, Jim?
I don't think there's anything wrong with him. I mean, for years I've been calling him the Clayton Kershaw of closers, and look at what Kershaw's doing this year. Sometimes pitchers, they just get off to a bad start. So maybe it was the move to San Diego. He's just getting used to things there. Maybe it's just a bad or slow start. But overall, I'm really not worried about Kimbrell. He had some bad games, but I think for the rest of the year he should be okay, and I still see him as that top three closer behind Aroldis Chapman.
Greg wrote an article about closers today, so go read that. But Greg, give him an excerpt about what you had to say about Kimbrell.
Yeah, I mean, I said he's still a top five closer. I mean, you know, the guy is still very good. His hard contact rate is actually down. His swing strike percentage is up. You know, there's been less contact on him this year, but the people can't hit stuff outside the strike zone. So once he gets his pitches a little closer to the strike zone, so they look a little closer. I think they're laying off the knuckle curve a little bit right now. Things will correct with him. So, you know, he's not as bad as obviously he's pitching right now, although he has given up runs in a few of his last appearances. But he's still getting used to that place. He's getting acclimated, but he's not this bad. So I wouldn't be afraid to trade for him. Zips the rest of the way. He has him with 77 strikeouts more coming and a 1.85 ERA. So, you know, if an owner is panicking on Kimbrell and you can deal off a couple of mid-tier closers to get him, I would recommend doing it. Just you know, we talked about this in the preseason. His days as 100 strikeout closer may be over, but he's still a top three guy.
I'm with you guys there. I'd be buying a line Kimbrell anywhere possible. He'll be fine. It'll be all right. Sean Doolittle had his first rehab appearance today. He allowed 2 home runs. He had 2 strikeouts for Oakland's High A club. He'll probably get maybe 5 or 6 more appearances, and then he'll be back and should take over that job pretty quickly upon his return. So that's nice to see. And in the last minute here, we will quickly talk about Marlins bullpen situation. Steve Cishek has been demoted finally. A.J. Ramos, amongst another committee, as Mike Redmond said, will take over the job. A.J. Ramos came in last night and threw a great inning for a save with 2 strikeouts. Do you think, Jim, Ramos sticks in less than 10 seconds?
As long as they don't go out and sign Soriano, he'll stick.
Yeah, no Soriano. Greg, does Ramos stick?
I hope so.
All right, I think so. Rafael Soriano's not going to throw any wrenches in my A.J. Ramos plan. So thanks for listening. It was appreciate Jim having you on. We'll definitely have you on again this season. Very knowledgeable, great guest. So go follow Jim at TheJimFinch and go check out his work at fantasyassembly.com. For Greg and I, we'll be back next Thursday night at 8. You can follow Greg at GJew at 9, me at TK978, and we'll talk to you next week.